Lawyers for Human Rights says it will be challenging a recent High Court decision that a foreign national cannot continue life-saving treatment in South Africa's public hospitals. The court found that the Ethiopian woman, she's 39, her name is Ale Mereselo, she's battling end-stage kidney failure and requires long-term chronic dialysis. The court said that she doesn't have the necessary documents to verify her refugee status in this country, and because she doesn't have the necessary documents, she is not entitled to that kind of health care from South Africa's public health system. There is another case that comes immediately to mind, also involving dialysis, when a KwaZulu-Natal man was brought a case suggesting that he should be allowed to continue with his dialysis treatment, and his dialysis treatment was taken away from him on the grounds that he was going to die, that his death, his imminent death, was certain, and that public health resources are scarce. There are very few dialysis machines available in the public healthcare sector. So that machine that he was using needed to be used rather on somebody who had a better chance of surviving for a longer time. These are incredibly complicated issues, I think. I suspect, I can't say for certain, but I suspect that if you asked most South Africans, dialysis to a South African or to a foreigner with questionable papers, they would say 999,999 of them out of a million, the South African first. Professor Kaimanthru Moodley joins us now, director of the Center for Medical Ethics and Law at the Faculty of Health Sciences at Stellenbosch University. Prof, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
The laws got involved, and the law must now proceed. And if there's an appeal, then we must find out what the appeal court says. But from a medical ethical point of view, how do you respond to a situation like this?
Well, as you know, in South Africa, we have a public health system that has severely constrained resources. And renal dialysis is one example. Another would be an ICU bed, for example. So I think we have many policies in place in the public health system to ensure that these limited resources are fairly distributed. So I think from a medical ethics perspective, what is really important is that we have a system in place to ensure that whatever resources we have available in the context of a large public demand are fairly distributed.
But that word fairly means mm-hmm. so many different things to so many different people and so many different interest groups.
I agree. And so within the health establishment, what is really important is that whatever decision is made in terms of how the distribution occurs is based on evidence, so good medical evidence, and I think that would be the starting point. And so,
what does that mean? What does good medical evidence mean? Does it mean that the person with the greatest assessed medical need is at the top of the list?
Well, I think it would be the person with the greatest chance of having a very good outcome if they have access to the service is important. So the Department of Health has developed a set of criteria that are used at all renal units in the public sector to decide whether a patient would fit into a specific category and how they would then have priority in terms of access to dialysis. And I think what is really important to remember is that the patients who are allowed access to dialysis should also be eligible for a renal transplant.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there is an enormous amount of medical science and history involved here, but still there's a bit of a guessing game. I think you with dialysis could live a healthy and productive life for 10, 12 years. You, I think 2 or 3 years is the maximum that you could expect. So the 12-year-old expectation, you get the machine. Well done to you. It's difficult because there is an element of guesswork involved, and you did say that the decisions must be scientifically based, and there is a lot of scientific input into the decision.
Yes.
But then there is an element, isn't there, of guesswork?
No, I would say that look, nobody can be 100% sure of outcome when it comes to health. So we have probabilities, and the health profession uses statistics to guide them. And that's about the best that we can do under the circumstances. But I think if you look into the criteria that are used to select patients for dialysis, they're fairly well thought out, and they're fairly detailed, and they involve a number of different factors. In the case you mention about the Ethiopian lady, the rest of us do not have access to her detailed medical history or records, but I'm sure that the doctors involved would have gone through a fairly thorough assessment before they made the decision that she was not eligible for transplant.
So if again, we don't know the details of this case, so mm-hmm. we must be careful in the way that we talk about it. But as a sort of broad ethical view, somebody who has a positive outcome expectation, should that person be denied access to the treatment because that person doesn't have proper papers, whatever that means, to be in South Africa? I mean, how, what's is there an ethical ground? Because we are we're signatories to various international treaties around how we treat people who are in our borders, and mm-hmm. again, you know, which is the factor that trumps the others in a situation like this?
Yes. So I think what is important for us all to understand is that even amongst South Africans, the same criteria would be applied. So it could be the case that, as you've mentioned with Mr. Subramani many years ago, it could be the case that a South African citizen with all legal rights in the country could also be denied access to dialysis using the criteria and the frameworks that I've referred to. And if we look beyond the borders, look at a global level, there are specific criteria that were developed by the United Nations many years ago, and these are referred to as the Siracusa Principles. And the Siracusa Principles, together with the limitation clause in the Constitution, indicate that there are specific circumstances under which people could be denied access to health based on public interest being more important than individual rights, as well as related to limitation of resources. So it really goes beyond even our South African legislation.
But if lawyers for human rights are able to demonstrate in an appeal court that the sole reason why Alem Ereselo was denied further dialysis treatment is because her South African her papers allowing her to be in South Africa were not properly constituted, would that be, do you think, ethically a sufficient reason for an appeal court to say, well, if that is the only criterion that was used, then she must go back on treatment?
Well, yes. So as we've discussed already, if that is the sole reason, and depending on how the medical team assessed her, the reason relating to a renal transplant for a foreign national without documentation would be a reason to exclude somebody from a dialysis program. However, even in that case, the Minister of Health could override that decision. So if, as you specify, that the only reason for her being excluded is the fact that she's an undocumented foreign national, if that is the only reason, then there would be, scope to argue in a court of law.
One wonders, I mean, this is one case that has been brought to public attention because of this law case. One wonders to what extent the ethical way of making these decisions is actually happening. Is there some kind of review process? Is there some process that looks at how decisions are made around allocating very scarce public health resources and whether they fit in with the ethical criteria?
Well, it depends on how hospitals are structured. So a clinical ethics committee within a hospital would be able to assess cases as they come up on a regular basis. And I must say, the problem of fair distribution of limited resources is a daily event in our public hospitals. All cases don't make it to court, as has happened in this case. But on a regular basis, there are certainly cases referred to clinical ethics committees in hospitals where they do exist. Hospital policies, any policy for that matter, ought to be reviewed on a regular basis. I think the policy that was developed around fair allocation of renal dialysis was also based on a set of principles or an approach called accountability for reasonableness. And that approach requires transparency in this process. So it's really important that patients accessing a renal unit are aware that the policy exists and that they understand it and that they have the ability to appeal it if they feel that it is unfair in any way. So the current guidelines that are being used, as far as I understand it, are based on a medical ethics framework to ensure fairness.
Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon, Professor Kemanthru Moodley, Director of the Centre for Medical Ethics and Law at Stellenbosch University.